So we continue our series on the Gospel according to, and this week focus on the remarkable story of the road to Emmaus and the relatively unknown follower of Jesus named Cleopas, Saint Cleopas the Awakened. I hope you are all able to connect with the weekly devotional in the bulletin around the Gospel according to you. What we need to do as followers of Jesus is begin to get used to the idea that God has been made known to each and every one of us in unique and various ways. None of us is left out. We all have a part to sing in the choir of God. Every one of us, none of us is left out. And none of us can claim to know the entirety of God. None of God's beloved children now or in the past can say with any accuracy or validity that their understanding of God is the only understanding of God. That their experience of God is the only experience of God, and that their theological opinions are the only good theological opinions. None of God's beloved children can claim this. It seems often, however, that many of us don't spend as much time on our own experiences of God, or our own understanding of God, or our own theological musings of God, and we instead, rely on the experiences of the understandings or the musings of the select few. Those special ones that seemed closer to Jesus while he was alive, or seem closer to Jesus now 2,000 years later, much closer to Jesus than we could ever be, right? We like to, it seems to me, to defer to other people's experiences, understandings, and musings of God. Sometimes at the expense of our own. We think, St. Peter knew Jesus the best, so we should pay more attention to him than to any other. Or St. Paul, or St. John, or St. Mary, or your favorite saint. Perhaps we think that St. Francis had a better understanding of who God is. Or St. Dunstan, or St. Desmond Tutu, or St. Richard Rohr, or St. whoever. It seems to me that we as followers of Jesus have bought into a type of celebrity culture where we think it is best to only listen to the brightest stars, the loudest voices, the ideas and musings of the select few who are way more connected to Jesus than we are. This is where the Gospel according to Cleopas the Awakened becomes important. Because who on earth is Saint Cleopas? No one knows. He's not mentioned again in Scripture, just in this one story of the road to Emmaus. He's a nobody, really. One of the thousands of regular followers of Jesus, not a Peter or a James or a Mary Magdalene. Later traditions have speculated that he was the brother of Joseph, Saint Cleopas was, the earthly caregiver of Jesus. Even if that's the case, he was not someone who was central to the story or the movement. He was on the side. He was someone on the periphery. Someone, perhaps, who didn't appear too important in the life and ministry of the early church. But though this might be all true of dear Saint Cleopas, though he might not have been one of the big wig followers of Jesus, he still had an encounter with Christ. Jesus still came to him to talk about Cleopas's feelings, to open the scriptures to him, to sit and break bread with him. Dear beloved children of God, we don't have to be celebrities to have an encounter with Jesus. We don't need to be priests to have an understanding of scripture. We don't need to be the brightest bulb in the chandelier. We don't need to be the section leader of the choir to be awakened to the love and presence of God. The gospel, according to St. Cleopas, is that even the Cleopases of the world, of the church, have as much connection with God, with Jesus, as the Peters, the Jameses, and the Johns have. You have as much connection with God as do the saints of old. You have the capacity to know who God is in your own world, in your own circle, in your own heart. This is good news, though it's tough news. Because if I have just as much connection to God as do the saints of old, it also means that you have as much connection to God as do the saints of old. And if you have just as much connection with God as do the saints of old, then it also means that person you don't like or disagree with or you find really irritating has just as much a connection to God as the saints of old. The gospel, according to Saint Cleopas, while it is a wonderful reminder of our own unique capacity to know God, also reminds us of our need to listen to others with their own unique capacity to know God, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, poor or rich, Hindu or Muslim, Christian or atheist, we all have the capacity to know and experience God, as it is important for us, and it is important for us to learn the practice of grace. Grace, that is the creative space that we make so that we do not, in our own unique knowing, trample down others in their own unique knowing. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Cleopas the Awakened, is good news, but it can also be a tough call to listen, to be gracious to others. Not only that, but the gospel, according to Cleopas, demands from us a deep practice of discernment. While God is accessible to all people, regardless of name or creed or position, we still need to be discerning in our listening. Because sometimes the places or the people where we should be able to expect to hear of God's love, of God's healing work in this world, is not where or who from we actually hear it. In the story this morning, Jesus appears and walks alongside Saint Cleopas and an unknown disciple as they make their way to Emmaus. He meets them in their grief and asks them what is on their hearts. Are you the only one who has not heard what has happened these days? Cleopas asks in grief. What happened? Asks Jesus. You know about Jesus, who was a prophet in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem, to heal Israel. Oh, what a line of deep emotion and a sense of utter betrayal. Have you not heard that the one who we thought was going to heal us was rejected and condemned by our own religious leaders, the ones who were meant to hold our hopes and fears in their hands and direct our hearts to God's love and healing? They were the ones who crushed our hope and threw Christ out. Our own religious leaders, instead of listening and discerning and reflecting on the presence and experience of God in the people outside their own circles, instead of being aware of God working through Jesus, instead of being the ones who should have got it, they were the ones who stamped hope out. Oh, what a cry that has echoed through the ages of the church and still resonates with hearts today. Sometimes the ones we expect to love God to be the clearest, sometimes the ones we expect the love of God to be the clearest in, are the ones who obscure it the most. Have you ever been betrayed by a religious leader? Have you ever had your faith and hope and love crushed by a person in a position of spiritual authority? When they should have been supporting you, they spent their time protecting their own experiences and words and feelings. Priests, bishops, pastors, theologians, spiritual directors, religious leaders are not the only ones who have a connection with God, and sometimes they are way off in what they tell others to be good news. We need to be discerning when we listen to those who we assume have the right words and beliefs. You all get to be discerning. And can I offer one hermeneutical lens to assist you in your discernment? A hermeneutical lens is like a pair of glasses, a pair of reading glasses we put on to help us understand something, to read something, to see something. As we practice discernment in our listening to one another, especially to those celebrity Christians, put on your glasses that filter out anything that might lead you to think that it is okay to do harm to others, to act unjustly to others, to have no compassion for others. Filtering out anything that leads to crucifying our opponents. These conclusions we can just cross out. Any religious leader who endorses such a conclusion is not worth listening to. Cleopas on the road was betrayed by his religious leaders. The ones who should have known were the ones who handed Jesus over to be crucified. And it is after this admission of betrayal that Jesus slowly begins to be made known to those disciples on the road. Sometimes we have to share our feelings to make space for Jesus to be known. First, Jesus is known in the explanation of Scripture, and then at the table, at the breaking of bread. Jesus will make himself known to you in Scripture. This is why we read so much of it at St. Dunstan, something from the Hebrew Scripture, the Old Testament, a psalm, and two readings from the New Testament, including from the Gospels, the stories of Jesus. In Scripture, Jesus will make himself known to you. Listen for God's word in it. Read it. Study it. Ask questions about it. Go to Friday Lectio Divina. Use the back of the bulletin. Send me emails about your questions, your thoughts. I want to help you read the Scripture in life-giving ways. The Gospel according to Cleopas the Awakened tells us that Jesus will be made known in Scripture and at the table, in the breaking of bread. The central thing that we gather to do each Sunday, sharing in the last meal Jesus had with his friends, where Jesus shares his body and his blood, his presence and his life with us. The Gospel according to St. Cleopas the Awakened tells us that Jesus will be made known to us in the Holy Eucharist. More so in anything I will ever say to you. More so than in anything another religious leader will say to you. Jesus will make himself known to you despite me in some ways. Just keep listening and discerning and remembering that you are capable of knowing and understanding and experiencing God as anyone else is in this beautiful world. This is the Gospel according to St. Cleopas the Awakened.